So there's a story that's been floating around on Reddit and some other places online about how the FBI has arrested a Tor node operator named Conrad Rockenhouse under false or flimsy pretenses and have been holding him in jail for several years without trial. It's been said that he ran Tor exit nodes, which is a pretty big deal considering the legal risk of having traffic that's exiting the Tor network being associated with your own personal IP address. But Conrad's involvement with the Tor network goes a little bit deeper than just running a single exit node. I looked him up on the Tor node mailing list, and apparently he used to own a VM hosting service called Gray Pony IT that was meant to help people with running remote Tor nodes and seemed to actually specialize in running high bandwidth, free BSD-based exit nodes. And it seems like Gray Pony had a lot of customers, or at least they were running a whole lot of nodes. At one point, Gray Pony owned 4 out of 10 of the fastest exit nodes in Canada. And at another point, they owned 15 of the fastest exit nodes in Canada, as well as some of the fastest exit nodes in the United States. Now, there's quite a bit of controversy with Gray Pony IT in and of itself, but what's important for the context of this here is that in 2018 and 2019, Conrad Rockenhouse probably had more individual control over high bandwidth Tor nodes on the Tor network than anybody else did, or at least any single individual. So we've got this image of the police violently arresting a man who is a disabled veteran, by the way, and there's the overarching theme of force of power being used to censor free speech, because like I said, this guy's company provided hosting for some of the highest bandwidth Tor nodes at the time. But there's more to this story because Conrad is not a completely innocent man himself. So according to court documents back in 2014, Conrad Rockenhouse worked as an infrastructure architect for an online company that provided travel booking and vacation services to customers. He got fired from this company, but his employer did not properly revoke his VPN access, so he was still able to get into the company's infrastructure, and he decided to crash some of their servers. So the company hired him back to fix this problem because they were having service outages, and while they were investigating the issue, they discovered that Conrad is the person who crashed the servers in the first place. So then they went and fired him again, and this time he physically tampered with company servers that were located in Texas in a data center somewhere close to where he was living at the time, and the damage ultimately cost the employer over $500,000 in lost revenue during the outages and including recovery costs to fix the problems. Now, Conrad had not been charged for several years after this crime was committed. But in 2019, after he had built this Tor node hosting company, he was allegedly approached by the FBI requesting his assistance in decrypting Tor traffic. And Conrad's wife claims that because he refused to cooperate with the feds in decrypting traffic, they decided to charge him with that computer fraud crime from 2014, just a few months before it would have reached the statute of limitations. Now, after getting arrested and charged, Conrad was put on pretrial release with supervision restrictions. And one of the common restrictions with computer crimes especially is that the defendant will either be banned from using computers and smartphones altogether, or their computers, phones, and other devices will need to have surveillance software installed on them to allow the state to monitor all of the defendant's online activities. And this is where things start to get really complicated. So in the court document, the U.S. pretrial officer Tiffany Ruth alleges that Conrad violated the conditions of the device monitoring program by first attempting to download Tor. Tor is a big no-no when you are under state supervision, and they could see that he visited the website for Tor to download the Tor browser, but apparently he wasn't able to actually download the browser because the monitoring software blocks that. Then later on, Conrad was successful in downloading Spice, which Ms. Ruth claimed was a Linux operating system that would knock out the monitoring software installed on Conrad's devices. And Conrad also apparently Googled NAMBLA, the North American Man-Boy Love Association, and holy shit, if you ever wanted an example of a really unfortunate search history, it's Conrad's right here. Now, according to his wife, the NAMBLA search had to do with research that Conrad was doing for an article that he was writing, which makes sense to me, considering that NAMBLA as an organization hasn't been around since like 2006. It's not likely that he was going to find any CSAM from just Googling the word NAMBLA, so I don't see that alone as evidence that Conrad might be a predator, like some people have been saying online. But again, when the feds are monitoring your internet activity, looking up Tor and then NAMBLA at 2 o'clock in the morning is definitely not a good look. Now, the first officer's description of Spice is not accurate. Okay, Spice is actually a program for graphically viewing remote virtual machines, and this clarification actually gets made in the court record by Special Agent Brett Leatherman in direct examination. And the special agent's testimony is what ultimately ends up screwing Conrad here. So Agent Leatherman explains how Spice could potentially be used to circumvent the device monitoring on Conrad's devices because the surveillance software is just installed on the host machine, like the physical computer that Conrad is using, and not on a remote virtual machine that he may have been connecting to with the Spice software. And the courts pretty much agreed with the allegations coming from the special agent. They stated that less than 24 hours into having his devices monitored that Conrad was trying to access Tor, and after he realized he couldn't, they think that he downloaded different software, Spice in this case, to let him connect to a remote computer that couldn't be monitored, and then they probably believe that he downloaded Tor onto that remote VM so that he could access the dark web, which is a violation of his pretrial release. And because of this alleged violation, Conrad's supervised release was revoked, and he was taken into custody. Conrad Rockenhaus was held in jail for 3 years. And mind you, this is during COVID when criminals were being let out of jails left and right, even for violent offenses due to overcrowding, but not Conrad. He had to just sit there rotting in jail during the Great Coup. Now, fast forward to 2024, Conrad was on supervised release again, this time in Michigan, and he had a probation officer. He was supposed to check in with, he had to take routine drug tests, he wasn't allowed to open additional lines of credit, and since he's released for a computer crime, he also wasn't allowed to use any devices that didn't have the monitoring software installed on them. So things were going great with the first probation officer he was assigned, but then Conrad's case got assigned to another PO who was much more hostile, according to his wife. They apparently conducted illegal searches, they harassed Conrad, they harassed his wife, and clients of their company, Cannabites LLC. They called his wife's ex-husband to get information about her for some reason. I mean, it looks like she had been married to Conrad for quite some time, so I don't know what information the ex-husband would have, especially since his wife is not the one being investigated here. So there's just a whole lot of unprofessional and really downright nasty behavior that's coming from this PO and their associates that's outlined in his wife's 10-point formal complaint that she emailed to the courts on February 13th, 2025. Now, less than 2 months after that formal complaint was made, a probation violation report was filed to get a warrant for Conrad's arrest again. The violations included a positive drug test for marijuana on November 19th, 2024, failure to pay restitution for his initial computer crime, failure to report to a probation officer multiple times between January and February. There were also 7 lines of credit that were opened over the last couple of years. And finally, Conrad had an iPhone with him in his possession that did not have the monitoring service installed on it, so the cops seized the phone to search it, but nothing problematic was actually found on the phone, but still, it's a violation of his probation to have a device that is not being monitored. So Conrad was arrested again on May 5th, 2025, which is what the first video on Adrian Rockenhaus's YouTube channel is of, where you can see federal agents swarming them and threatening to sic a canine on them if they don't comply. And then the next day, Conrad was released on a $10,000 bond. Then on August 20th, 2025, another warrant petition was issued for noncompliance. The state claimed that Rockenhouse wasn't paying his restitution, or rather made two payments that had bounced. They said he tested positive for marijuana again on August 13th, 2025. And this was all during a home visit that was conducted on the same day that an officer again seized an iPhone 15 Pro Max and also an Apple Watch 2 at this point, which he was not authorized to have because, again, there was no monitoring software installed on them. And to make matters worse, the iPhone that got seized got remotely erased this time, and allegedly, Conrad's wife admitted to remotely erasing his iPhone. And again, Conrad was supposedly not keeping in touch with his probation officers. He claimed that he didn't have a working phone in order to keep in touch, but both the iPhone and the Apple Watch that were seized were apparently capable of making calls. So the officers really did not see that as a valid excuse. And then fast forward to September 4th, this is where we get all of those videos on his wife's channel showing a pretty violent arrest of Conrad Rockenhouse. You've got officers breaking windows, threatening to break down the door and fill the house with gas, and officers were refusing to even show the warrant that they had for Conrad's arrest this time when they went to pick him up. So Conrad's wife has given her side of this entire story on Rockenhouse.com, where she says that he was actually forced to confess to the computer fraud crimes while under the influence of painkillers that were prescribed to him for a major surgery that he had just had. And the feds arrested Conrad for the computer fraud crime just a few months before that 5-year statute of limitations was set to expire. And she says that the arrest was ultimately made as retaliation for his refusal to decrypt traffic from his exit notes. And she says that the Spice graphics driver that Conrad installed, which the state claimed that he was using to circumvent device monitoring, remember, this is what got him initially taken into custody, or at least taken into custody after he was on pretrial release. But anyway, his wife says that this program was actually being used for a PhD program that Conrad was in, and apparently he had prior approval from his probation officer or from the state to use Spice. And apparently there's another angle here where Conrad's wife was, or his ex-wife rather, was trying to keep him in jail so that she could steal his Social Security payments, because I guess she had fraudulently submitted some paperwork to get, you know, payments that were meant from him actually sent to her. So clearly there are multiple sides to this story. You know, the feds are saying that Conrad's this criminal that needs to be locked up, and the wife is more or less saying that he's completely innocent, or that, you know, things are getting out of hand and that it's being used against him. You know, Conrad did initially plead not guilty to the computer fraud charge, so there is that, but he changed his plea to guilty. His wife also claims that the parole violations are fraudulent, and again, the spark that apparently lit this powder keg was Conrad's refusal to not cooperate with the FBI in decrypting Tor traffic, which doesn't seem that far-fetched, but again, doesn't seem like he's completely innocent unless the FBI somehow colluded with his former employer to just completely fabricate this computer fraud accusation. So what it seems to me like what is going on here is that this computer fraud crime was hanging over Conrad's head, sort of like a sword of Damocles, and when he ultimately refused to help the feds de-anonymized Tor users, that's when they cut the string to drop the sword on him. And when the feds approached him, assuming that this actually happened, I mean, I'm sure if it did happen, it was a meeting off the record, they probably made Conrad aware of that, that they knew about his crime, because threatening to charge people with serious crimes is a common tactic that law enforcement uses to compel someone's compliance. And so I think the lesson here is that if you're going to contribute to an anonymizing network or anything that the feds tend to not like, whether it be Tor, I2P, Monero nodes, or whatever, you should do your best to stay out of trouble yourself. Don't commit any misdemeanors. Don't get traffic tickets. And definitely don't commit a serious computer crime against your former employer or anyone else, because The time is going to come when law enforcement gives you the choice to either turn rat, okay, to either, you know, comply with what they're doing, or let them ruin your life. And for better or worse, it seems like Conrad made the latter choice. So I really hope that Conrad actually can get his trial and ultimately be released from jail, which you would think that if the company that he hacked initially, right, the original victim in all of this, if they have some chance of getting paid restitution, there's a better chance of that happening when Conrad's not in jail, because you can't really make any money in prison. But tell me your thoughts on the Conrad Rockenhaus case in the comments below. Like and share this video to hack the algorithm, and check out my online store, base.win, where you can buy my awesome merch, like this Open Base t-shirt, or accessories for your phone or laptop. 10% store-wide discount when you pay with Monero XMR at checkout. Have a great rest of your day.